There's a bright golden haze on the meadow. There's a bright golden haze on the meadow. The cereal's as high as an elephant's eye. And it looks like it's reaching way up to the sky. Oh, what a beautiful podcast. What a beautiful day. I am joined by a dear friend to talk about a dear subject and a dear food. It's The Empty Bowl, a meditative podcast about cereal. I'm a cereal enthusiast. My handle around these parts is Justin McElroy.
And I am a serial architect of modern history of sorts, and I'm Dan Gubert. Mm-hmm. Someone's got to chart these territories.
It's well put. It's kind of a new thing for me. I'm enjoying a glass of wine with this week's episode, which is kind of the cereal of beer. Wine is sort of the cereal of beer.
I would love to hear the rationale behind that.
Well, it's sweet and I like it.
That's fair. That's
and
fair.
I don't feel that about beer. I drink it by the bowlful. So that's another sort of thing, another similarity. This is a podcast where we talk about cereal, and that's it. There's some cereal news. We're going to have some cereal reviews and just talk about the subject in general. Nothing too stressful, which presents a great opportunity for you to relax, sit back, kind of clear your head, and just let us whisk you away for a little bit to discuss that good crunchy stuff that we all crave. I'm really excited about this week's news. This top story is one that I feel like we definitely were asking about it.
Yes.
And I feel like everybody kind of worked together and willed it into existence.
Yes, it is sort of the natural completion of the Hostess cereal trifecta.
Sure.
We got Honey Bun and the Powdered Donut cereals, both of which may not have been obvious picks, but I think we as a species can agree that they were both fantastic. Powdered Donuts has not been shaken from my top cereal of the year position yet, and it's been several months. So expectations are high for when Hostess releases a Twinkies cereal. So we first heard about this one on the cereal subreddit, of course, which I've mentioned in the past is very much a wild, wild west of cereal fandom. Just sort of a swirling mix of everyone in the world. I guess it's like a melting pot of cereal in a sense. So sometimes you'll have these really ridiculous memes that were probably whipped up in like a middle school library.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get on other days this random strike of lightning, like someone sharing this image of Hostess Twinkies cereal.
You'll also get a lot of really benign cereal things. Like,
mm-hmm.
a lot of posts like, just tried these bad boys for the first time, and it's like a picture of Cinnamon Toast Crunch or something. It's like, good, okay, great.
You know, it lived up to the hype. It really did.
Yeah, I really like this cereal I just tried.
Does anybody else like to mix cereal?
Right, like, oh, sure. Welcome to the Stone Ages.
I think if you skimmed sort of off the top of that subreddit, you'd just get the sentiment of this podcast, I guess.
Yeah, that's fair. That's true. Not as though we're breaking a lot of new exciting ground here. Fair.
But yeah, the interesting story behind this Hostess Twinkies cereal, before we even talk about sort of the geometric composition of the thing, which is a bestiary all in itself, but the source of this is actually the source of the next story as well that we'll get to, and it was a post-consumer sample website where sort of stores can order crates of samples, I guess, of cereal, and they sort of stock them early and ahead of time so that the stores can buy them. But they really made it publicly available, and so we kind of just rated it like little gremlins and took all of the little news bites out of it as a cereal community.
Mm-hmm.
So
now this cereal looks like much like, I guess, Twinkies themselves. They look like a lot of tiny little lady fingers, I would say. More entertaining to me, giant Rice Krispies. They kind of look. Or
if you're just looking at the bowl, honestly, you would be forgiven for mistaking them for uncoated cheese puffs. That is the appearance is very strange. And as far as we know, my guess would be we're not dealing with a cream component. I would guess, right? I mean, I feel like they would be opened. The not only are you not seeing inside of any of the puffs in the otter, you're also not seeing the inside of a Twinkie, which you almost always see in packaging. Which makes me think that we're not going to have like a cream or marshmallow component, as marshmallows have sort of stood in for cream in like new the new Oreos or the new formulation of Rice Krispie Treat cereal.
You know, it's funny. Well, first of all, I think that your three visual analogies are probably the kindest ones that I have heard ever since this news broke online. A lot of people like to compare them to more larvae or bacteria or even mealworms in a sense, all of which are very, very nutritious breakfast, depending on who's listening to this. All our hamster friends and such. Do hamsters don't eat larvae, do they?
No, I don't know. I've never had a hamster.
I'm going to look the fool, but this isn't really a podcast for more than the human race, I guess.
That's true.
But yes, really distracting me from the topic that there's not even a cross section, which you'd think that if you've seen any other cereal before, they really like to enlarge to show texture much more than a lot of other things. Like the Golden Graham on the Golden Graham box is the size of the entire box.
They're burying they're trying to bury the lack of cream, I think. They don't want to talk about that.
But I still trust it to be good, just because I didn't really know how a honey bun cereal would sort of capture all the nuances, but they turned it into like a honey waffle crisp of sorts that was really, really good.
Now, I tell you, I am still dying for, if they could nail snowballs. Coconut, we've talked about before, I think, very underrepresented in cereal, I feel like.
It's true, it's true.
That would be a great sort of blend if they could ever nail that down. You would almost expect them to go with like a sort of how we've seen s'mores represented by marshmallow graham and chocolate pieces. I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, some chocolate pieces, some coconut pieces, some marshmallow pieces to try to get that snowballs vibe.
I think I agree with you. And I think the best, the other Hostess cake that was cited and probably one of the most, you know, obscure ones you could name was a raspberry Zingers cereal. I think that could be really nice.
Sure, go for
it. The Zingers line is not really well represented in the Hostess mythos either, just because I don't think they ever gave it, you know, one of those iconic mascots.
Yeah.
But it's about time.
This next story is special just for me.
It's really important.
It's huge.
So from that same Post site, they also had Malto meal products on there because Post owns both of them. But this was a blueberry muffin toasters, and it was only a picture of like the logo on the back of like a shipping box. So we didn't even get to see the box or what the cereal looks like. But if you know anything about the Malto Meal Toasters line, it's just a derivative of the Cinnamon Toast Crunch formula, of course. And they have it in different flavors as well, like the French Toasters that, you know, recently disappeared, I think, to give way to this one, were also fantastic. Really filled the old French Toast Crunch vibe. You know how they had the maple squares in Canada, and Malto Meal really killed it with that. So not only was that amazing, but the expectation is high for them to take the blueberry muffin tops legacy that I know you love so, so, so dearly and transfer it to a modern medium.
I'm disappointed about the name change to Blueberry Muffin Toasters. I feel like that's trying to cash in when they were there first. They were leading the blueberry muffin charge. I feel like they should claim their legacy.
Yeah, because it sort of implies the existence of muffin toast. If we're following the Cinnamon Toast Crunch formula.
It's nothing.
Yeah. So we don't really know much about this yet, but it's super exciting. And if it does actually come out, do you trust it to actually represent the flavor well?
Oh, I think that I have to imagine this recipe's still kicking around, right?
They have to know that you, of all people who organized like a massive breakfast of the stuff, will be trying this. So there's really no margin for error.
Yeah. Send me a box, y'all. Let's do this.
I mean, they seem to have them by the crate full, so let's aim high.
Now I got a little box art news, which you really, this is not a visual podcast. You should go to seriously.net and look at the art accompanying this next tale.
So I don't know if it means that it's been a really good week for Serial or a really bad year for Count Chocula that he's the third news item that we talk about. Really fell off the top billing that he's had in previous years, mostly because they didn't really change anything. I mean, anyone who's followed, I say the word mythos a lot, but it's really applicable here as well, of the monster serials, you know that they usually try some different gimmick every year and at least a different design scheme on their boxes. But in recent years, they've kind of been getting duller and more homogenous, using the same style again and again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people were really, really, like, top thrill dragster or demon dropped off of a hype cliff after 2013 when they brought back Fruit Brute and Yummy Mummy. It's just, there was no way they could really top that. And right. I still think that's the highest peak they might achieve unless they introduced a whole new one or, you know, returned to the oat formula that I still get emailed about every single week. So there are a lot of problems with the Monster Serial's reputation currently, and this latest gimmick doesn't really lift it up at all. It's an Addams Family crossover. I didn't really know that they were rebooting this series into a movie again, but I do find it ironic that instead of rebooting the Monster Serial cinematic universe, which we know they're trying to make a movie about it, they just decided to, you know, latch on to a random animated movie that's coming out and let that dictate what appears to be the whole theme of the year.
Yeah. So go right ahead, Dan.
I was going to say, yeah, the extent of their partnership with Addams Family isn't even really that exciting because it's free pumpkin stencils that you have to go online to download.
Think about this for a second, folks. You by buying Count Chocula, you're being given the opportunity to download a complimentary glossy JPEG for you to carve the Count or Gomez's face into a pumpkin for free. I mean, it's a free gift for you with this with this purchase of cereal. It's hugely disappointing.
Count Chocula is living in like 17th century Transylvania, whereas Spider-Man is in the year 3000, getting us to scan our Pop-Tarts.
Now, my dear friend Elsie Fisher is in the Addams Family film, so I'm sure it will be great. And everybody should see
sure.
it eight times, but it is a buck wild premium.
It's not you, Addams Family. It's the evident death of Fruit Brute and Yummy Mummy.
Yeah. We got one more fresh look.
You know, this is an interesting one as well because I got an email from the General Mills PR, and they told me that there was a big Cinnamon Toast Crunch secret coming to my mailbox. And obviously that gets my hopes really high because in the back of my mind, I didn't know of anything from Cinnamon Toast Crunch that was rumored to be coming. This could really be anything. I thought if we're already seeing Halloween products, perhaps it could be Gingerbread Toast Crunch. After all, I've been ringing that rallying cry for about a decade. But in reality, it was a very interesting prize pack to debut a new box and brand look for Cinnamon Toast Crunch, as well as new mascot designs.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're not happy about this one.
I mean, it is what it is. I mean, they're trying to lure in the kids, which that's fine. I don't love the, I mean, it looks just kind of like a zanier cereal, if I may say that.
Yeah, it's definitely got that extreme like Doritos brand energy in it.
Yeah, it has. I will always miss the two little chefs.
Three little chefs?
Three little chefs, some number of chefs who were spicing up the cereal with cinnamon. It has had kind of a generic, just the logo and, you know, a swirl of cereal on it recently. So it's definitely a little bit, what would you say, edgier than that? But
I would... I would probably say it's a little more refined because we had sort of the crazy square mascots before, but they were really on that like Jimmy Neutron uncanny valley of 3D animation.
Yeah.
So at least they rendered them in two dimensions, which is interestingly the opposite of what Kellogg's is doing and bringing everybody into that uncomfortable third dimension. So I will say in the end, this is a step up for the mascots. Moreover, I do like the sort of paint swirl that's going on. It's very Splatoon-esque. But I think overall, my opinion on this was sealed by what else was in this prize pack. Because if it's not a good metaphor for the whole occasion, they sent me a normal box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch with the old design and a miniature glossy JPEG printed box full of nothing.
Imagine. It's going to be just like this, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not. Also, here's Cinnamon Toast Crunch if you haven't tried that yet. if you want to put it on Reddit, that you're
straight
trying
to
for
Reddit.
The first time.
Wait, I have one more thing to say about this
Please, by all means.
I would be remiss and cursed to my grave if I didn't mention that also in this prize pack it was glued to the side of the box, very, very, like, difficultly to get off, and it looked like a package tracker or some sort of nefarious government device.
Sure.
But as I passed my hand over it, I found out that it was a motion-activated speaker that plays crunching noises.
No thank you.
Yeah, it was an interesting allocation of budget and resources, I will say that much. I like to imagine someone in a PR office on their hands and knees just gluing automatic crunch sensors and they're all going off at the same time.
I'm interested to hear, we had our first snickerdoodle cookie from, I guess it was a Aldi's exclusive, and now we've got another claim on the snickerdoodle cookie throne.
You know, it's basically just a different face because it's a Malt-O-Meal snickerdoodle cookie bites. And during my investigation into who was making the Aldi store brand snickerdoodle cookies last year, hyphenated two separate terms, I found out that it was Post and Malt-O-Meal that owned that as well. So I really expected this to be the exact same cereal. So either my memory of the December version is like tainted by Christmas magic, or this really is a different product, because I think it's not seasonally appropriate, but it tastes better. It's a lot like warmer, and the cinnamon's baked in instead of sort of just being dusted on, and the core's not really that good.
That's nice. How is it on the sweetness? Because one of my favorite things about snickerdoodles is that it's one of the cookies where people often feel content to not go super sugar hard, where it can be a little bit, you get some of the like butter and cinnamon can come through a little bit better.
Yeah, it's definitely on the lower end of the cinnamon spectrum. So if you have, you have your Cinnamon Toast Crunch, which is probably the bog standard for just flavor blasted.
Right.
If you've tried Cinnamon Toast Crunch, by the way, it's hard to know these days. But if you remember the Kellogg's Cinnabon cereal that isn't around anymore, that one was much more mildly flavored as well, and it was in a similar disc shape, so I get major Cinnabon vibes, and I know a lot of people have been missing that one, so it's a good substitution.
I'm interested to hear about vanilla almond raisin bran as well. It's certainly an appealing sound. It sounds delicious.
Yeah, it's probably the most logical thing the Kellogg's Raisin Bran line has done in a while. They did an apple strawberry one recently and a banana chunk one, both of which were good, but they were lateral moves compared to something that you kind of see in the same flavorful vein as Raisin Bran, which I think vanilla and almond are both very complementary to the natural, you know, raisiny tang, or however you describe it.
Sure.
And I think it works really well here. This is Raisin Bran Crunch, I missaid, instead of the actual Raisin Bran. So there are honey clusters in there as well.
Love that.
So you got vanilla, almond, raisin, and honey all kind of just working together. And it's not like an Oreo O's or something where the marshmallow and the ring are very separate entities. It's all very unified here, and I think they do a really good job. So if you're a Raisin Bran fan, I know that's a divisive one, this is a must try.
Lastly, is Blue Eyes White Dragon as disappointing as we would come to expect from all these other sort of branded stunt cereals, I would call them.
I would say yes-ish. It's better than the Funko cereals, for sure, because those were kind of just, you know, like laminated rings almost, in how thickly there was that artificial fruit flavor on them. And these are more just little balls. I didn't expect them to look just like the clip art on the box, as we discussed, but they are very nondescript little rainbow spheres. And
are they about the same size as Trix? They look a little puffier.
Honestly, I think they're a little bit smaller, like halfway between the Trix spheres and like the mini Trix, if you remember those.
Mm-hmm.
So dry, this really still has that promotional cereal varnish on it, but in milk, it's actually a decent facsimile for Trix. So if you're already the type of person who's going to spend $11 on a Yu-Gi-Oh! Cereal, you might as well eat it too, because it's only going to get worse if you don't.
Fair enough. We asked you, our beloved listeners, to fill us in on some of your most beloved memories of cereal prizes. And of course, as always, you leapt to our aid with your beloved cereal memories. And I am going to share a few of those with you right now.
Hi, Dan and Justin. My name is Case. I'm calling in from California, and I wanted to share the coolest cereal prize that my girlfriend won, which was a pair of Captain Crunch-themed Beats, as in the over-the-ear headphones Beats, but it says Captain Crunch on the side. She still owns them, and I like using them when I'm at the library, listening to my favorite meditative podcast about cereal.
I don't remember what cereal brand UPC codes I had to send in for this, but I received a Bonkers the Bobcat themed electronic bike horn that you could Velcro to your bike, and when you pressed a button, it would go Aruga. I used to love riding down the street going Aruga, much to the chagrin of everyone else on my block.
Dan, do you have any treasured pack-in memories?
I think I would have to go with something that a lot of people mentioned, which was the many, many color-changing spoons that have happened across the years. Mm-hmm. I think that's just a no-brainer when it comes to iconic cereal prizes, and they've really had many different iterations. I think someone mentioned there were lightsaber ones, and I do think those were amazing. You really just can't go wrong, that development.
This is a weird one, but there was a Cheerios promotion back quite a while ago now, because it's a cereal pack-in, which really not much of a thing anymore, or cereal premium, if you will. But it was a Cheerios thing where these kids found a buried treasure, and the fiction of the commercial was that they were sharing it with everybody, and inside the cereal was just a dollar bill, just a crisp packaged dollar bill, which I found so strange. And as a kid, though, that felt like quite the coup to have my very own dollar to do with as I pleased.
Oh, I thought of another good one. Cap'n Crunch's Halloween Crunch one year actually included a pumpkin stencil for Cap'n Crunch on the back of the box. You know, back in those good old, those analog days.
Sure. I think there was a mask on the back of C-3PO's at one point.
Oh, yeah.
It was a delicious cereal if you ever tried that. I have a question that I'd like to ask everyone this week. If you'd like to head on over to bowl.rest, you can find the link to send us a voicemail there. Just send us a relaxing, though brief, comment about this question, which was, what was the first quote-unquote grown-up cereal that you remember falling in love with? Obviously, you know, most people start out with a real passion for the sugar bombs and what have you. But What grown-up cereal did you first find yourself attracted to? Seeing the merits of, I should say.
Yeah, when your cereal taste started aging like that fine wine.
The change of life, as they call it. You had a great suggestion for a discussion topic here before we close out the show. Here in the third segment, we like to just kind of cut loosen our Captain Crunch theme ties that we got in a box, and just to talk about whatever we please. It's all that cereal related. There's some creepy Cocoa Crisp M&Ms, which are jam packed full of cereal. And you were wondering about other cereal candy snack hybrids that would be exciting / seasonally appropriate. And I think this is a great question. One thing that I think would be fun, and this isn't exactly what you were asking, but it did make me think about that we've never gotten a candy corn cereal. Hmm. And it seems like a great like Halloween thing, because, you know, they're small, they have a distinct flavor, that distinctive sort of mellow cream marzipan sort of vibe. And I would love to see that Halloween snack sort of transmogrified into cereal form.
Okay, so you sort of flipped the equation yes, a little bit by doing a cereal that tastes like a snack. So
yes,
that means I want to do two, but I want to do one each, and I hope you can make up for the other half and think of a snack hybrid.
Yes.
So my first jump to was the seasonally appropriate convention, and I wanted to bring cereal into Thanksgiving somehow. So naturally, I figured that the best place to bring in a cereal would be in the stuffing. Naturally, right? But the first thing you would think of is probably cornflake stuffing. But I would rather see the whole name of it, the post-honey brunches of oats maple bacon donut stuffing. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a very nice sort of homogenization of the sweet and tangy flavors on the cereal that were not really welcome at other times of the year or day.
Yes.
Or gastrointestinal cycle.
Which I think is gone from shelves, by the way. I have not seen it again since that initial rush in Walmart.
Yeah, I think it was a really limited thing for National Cereal Day in March. So I don't think they ever really expected to catch the continued sure. breakfast zeitgeist with that.
I actually, this is something I saw on, I want to say on Twitter, but I don't think it was from Cerealously. Someone had posted a recipe for hot buttered Cheerios.
What?
Hear me out. That was here it is. It's if you search for it, you'll find the old recipe from Betty Crocker. This is a recipe from the 80s, and it's you get a 10-inch skillet, you melt a fourth cup of butter or margarine in a 10-inch skillet. Then you add 4 cups of Cheerios and you cook it in there for 2 or 3 minutes. And then once that's done, you sprinkle with some salt.
Mm.
You have hot buttered Cheerios. Now, see, you scoffed at first, but now that I'm describing it to you, it sounds good. It sounds really good.
Well, now it seems like something that they would sell next to the boiled peanut stand on the side of the road, just by like the 10-gallon hatful or some other frontier measure.
Yeah, it sounds good though, Dan. I kind of want to eat it, bud.
I've
sent you the art for it in case you're curious. Like, it's a
art.
It's a magazine. It looks to be like a full page magazine ad for delicious hot buttered Cheerios. Which, like, the more I say it, the hungrier I'm getting. They look so delicious.
You're not really doing justice to just how romantic this entire advertisement is. We'll have to tweet it tomorrow. Because they're not just making a little serving of hot buttered Cheerios. That is enough,
no, baby.
That is enough to feed an all-night diner till like 4 a.m.
But see, this is the thing. What I love about cereal snacks is that once you've cracked one, then you sort of have, I mean, the recipe for this, I mean, you can apply that to anything, right? Like any cereal could have a hot buttered form, as long as, you know, the structure is similar. Sort of the way Rice Krispies are sort of, I think, like mid-tier inclusion in that recipe. There are so many other things. I mean, you put Fruity Pebbles in there, I'll forget about it, friend. I mean, you got yourself a treat. Why pin yourself into rice Chex in your puppy chow when you could throw in some wheat and really get a party started? I think buttered Cheerios.
On the one hand, I think you're sort of opening a dangerous Pandora's box of, I remember we were talking about how addictive it is to start putting chocolate chips in cereal. And now I don't know if I can ever be satisfied with room temperature, unbuttered cereal.
Yeah.
This might be the future of the genre. People have been wondering what happens next to cereal. It's hot and buttered all the way down.
I desperately want to try some hot buttered Cheerios, Dan. That's all I can think about now.
Well, there's so my hungry. Answer to the other half of the question. If I could have any snack-flavored cereal, I would just have hot buttered Cheerios pre-made in a box.
The cereal.
Mm-hmm. And then you bit. Hot butter those? Oh, yes. Brother, another world.
Now you're snacking. folks, that's going to do it for us this week on The Empty Bowl. If you want to find our show online, you can go to bowl.rest. There you can find the link to, like I said, send us a voice message, or you can also choose to support the show. You click that link and you can pledge from 99 cents all the way up to $9.99 a month. And we use that money to keep seriously.net going, and also for a local food pantry here in my hometown of Huntington, West Virginia. So we really appreciate your support there. And if financial support isn't in the cards, we completely get it. But if you could go and rate and review our show on iTunes, that's the best way to help other people find it. In addition to, of course, you know, tweeting about the show and saying, hey, I enjoy this. You may find it helpful in your travels. We appreciate that. And of course, seriously.net. The door is always open on their digital storefront to wander in and read about cereal if you like.
Yeah, everything's free. Nothing's tangible. Maybe I'll add some pumpkin decals of our faces someday.
Yeah, if you want to email me some Justin and Dan pumpkin stencils, we'll get those up on the site.
They better be glossy. Sure. Maximum gloss. We'll only accept maximum gloss.
Yeah, and don't just make a picture of us black and white, because that'll be too hard to do the stencil. You really got to put some thought into it. Dan, thank you so much for joining me for another week of the show. Thank you to you at home for listening. But that is going to do it for us for this week. So until next time, my name is Justin McElroy, and that's Dan Goubert. And we would ask, as always, that you don't forget
to drink
the milk.
The milk.
Good.
It's pretty much sold on now.
It's right there. So close. I can taste it.
Mmm, hot
buttered Cheerios.